Hello everyone, my name is Teacher Yvette. I'm part of the Restored Government of God. It's the 13th of January 2021, and today I'll be talking about our assurance of hope. So let's start our scripture reading in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mystery talks about that which is concealed. It is not evident to the understanding or the experience unless it is revealed to us. The mystery of the gospel has to do with Christ working in you and our responsibility to it. The mystery is our expression of faith and the inheritance of those that believe, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The message of Christ is simple to understand in its historical context. But it is a mystery beyond that knowledge. The truth that must be associated with the testimony of Christ is hidden, as the wisdom of God is unsearchable, and God has purposely selected this avenue of approach to mankind to sidestep his reason and pride of accomplishment, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God then reserved one office of his government to whom he makes known the mystery, and this is the apostle, who also instructs the rest of the body. This restriction is necessary to protect the purity of the gospel. God's kingdom follows God's rules, and these rules give direction for faith's engagement, not the aspiration, imagination, and principle. The riches of the glory tell us about the value of the work of regeneration, that by fruit, which we nurture into virtue, we bring glory to God as we continually add substance to the soul and in so doing increase his kingdom. We increase with his increase, growing in the fullness of Christ. Verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Who are they that preach? They are the government of God, who confirms God's plan of salvation in Christ. What is the warning that they are given to every man? The warning preached is to put believers in mind of their responsibility to the covenant of Christ, to abhor what is evil and to follow after that which is good, to seek out those things that are beneficial for our faith. In this dimension of testing, we are constantly given opportunities to exercise our prudence, directing the activity of faith with our choices. The exhortation here is to present every man perfect. And what does this mean? This presentation is to impact the hearts of believers, to labor for increase, to remain in cadence with the Spirit who will assist our overcoming. We aren't called to be perfect in the flesh, but to be perfect in the faith, meaning we follow the pattern of faith that works regeneration in the soul. And verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. When Apostle Paul says that he also labors, he's not doing so to gain credibility with the world, but to increase in Christ. The world refuses to acknowledge Christ. As we read in John chapter 1 verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Those who didn't receive Christ, and still today doesn't acknowledge Christ, doesn't want to receive the pattern he came to establish for faith's perfection. The world honors those who honor themselves, those who follow after aspirations or morals that people can relate to. But those things that are beyond their experience and comprehension, those things they don't honor. The word strive in this verse is to give direction. We strive according to his working, meaning we labor according to the will of God and his issuance of grace. The application of faith and zeal is according to the effectual working of regeneration. According to, it means we follow God's rules, so we keep cadence with the Spirit, continually building to increase in the fruits of righteousness. Let's read Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Conflict here refers to the resistance phase of our growth cycle. In each growth cycle, we will experience three phases, namely revelation, resistance, and reward. We experience resistance in our growth cycles when former convictions resist the work of grace in the soul. Former convictions were established by our contact with the kingdom of darkness. We are inclined to use the things of the kingdom of darkness to support the moral footprint within us. Those who associate with our moral footprint validate this inclination, but the work of regeneration removes the shackles of those experiences so that we can be free to grow in the kingdom of God. Paul is sharing his experience for the edification and exhortation of the saints, having faced his own cycles of growth to overcome his former traditions and beliefs, and the resultant reputation that preceded him because of it. But by his continuance of faith, God rewards the willing. We are being taught the wisdom of the Spirit, to abhor evil and to follow after which is good. We are taught to resource the eternal things from above and not those things marked by the kingdom of darkness. We are exhorted to maintain good habits of faith, for no cycle of growth will be without its resistance, but we can continue on laboring, pressing forward to grow in righteousness until we leave this dimension, as we are exhorted to do in Philippians 3 verse 14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are called to remain diligent, not having the things of the world dim your hope, but to aggressively walk with God. Diligence shows that great effort or thought that gives birth to consistency. Those who persevere with the things of God are rewarded with God's grace, which again makes the hope of Christ burn brightly in the soul. We endure the testing of this dimension because by our application of faith, these tests translate into experience, which is why God allows certain things to remain in this dimension. The experience we gain through regeneration and renewal of the mind makes our hope living. In Romans 5, verses 1 to 5, we read, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God allows these tests to come and allow these contradictions to remain, to offer us opportunities to exercise our will with either pride or faith. The choice remains ours. When we choose faith, we are kept in a state of humbleness because we know the value of the work of regeneration, of Christ within. We may not be perfect in the flesh, but we are perfect in faith. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2 and read verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. What comforts the heart? The expression of faith that confirms Christ. This comforts the heart. Charity that testifies of a purged conscience, this comforts the heart. This is how we are knit together in love, with charity. We love one another as God loves us, and he shows his love for us through Christ. He loves us by the direction given to faith through grace. He loves us by the assistance of the Holy Spirit. He loves us by the presence of the angel of righteousness. All these are given to assist our transition from darkness to light. Comfort also speaks of consistency, conformity, and communication. And by this we testify of the value of this work of regeneration. knit together also tells us that all who carry the name of the Lord within, we are tied together by a golden thread of charity. And because the mark of the Lord is upon us, we are responsible to walk in our sanctification, not just for our own faith, but for the faith of the saints. The golden thread is refined by fire, and with each cycle of growth, our faith is purged and refined by the fires of the altar of Christ. Unto all riches speaks of increasing value. Through the expression of charity, we're increasing in value by the work of regeneration and renewal of the mind. Apart from this work, the soul is worth nothing because the flesh profits God nothing. This work is part of the mystery. It is hid from the carnal eye, but understood by those of faith, because we daily experience the work and divine transformation. Full assurance is that which inspires confidence. We are assured of our hope in Christ because of our confidence in God, seen through reflection on His grace and the pattern of His truth. Our doubts are dissolved as the record and the witness find agreement. Full means that it's hit the measure of the mark. If we fill a cup to the brim, it's full. It can't hold any more fluid. So our assurance isn't full. It's not in part. It's not a portion of confidence or a part of hope. It is the fullness of Christ. But we know that God's kingdom is ever increasing. And so we continue to labor to keep that vessel full. We increase with the increase of God, remember? So for the vessel to remain full, we need to stay in step with God, remain in cadence with His Spirit, and continually sow to harvest and to grow. Full assurance of understanding tells us that in covenant with God, we experience equity of thought. Equity of thought is brought about by the expression of charity. Our perceptions are continually corrected. Our perception of life is no longer viewed from frailty but from grace. When perceptions are molded by frailty, the soul falls into despair, doubt, depression, and double-mindedness. And if you were to view yourself from a perspective of frailty, you will condemn yourself. Jesus didn't come to set a pattern for faith that condemns, but to set a pattern for faith that liberates. Condemnation was already in the world, for this dimension carries the curse God placed upon it after the fall. Our flesh is now subject to need, subject to time, but our perspectives don't need to be shaped by these experiences. Faith is not subject to time because we are now bound to the eternal one. So we no longer mold our perceptions and affections with the temporal, but with the eternal. At the beginning, we spoke about what the mystery is, being those things that are concealed and can only be revealed by God. In Colossians 2 verse 2, Paul writes about the mystery of God, of the Father, and of Christ. Now, Chief Apostle Eric has spoken about two mysteries. The first has to do with the record we are currently following, that invisible work that is taking place in the soul. The second has to do with that which is impacted in us of the throne. It's the mysteries of the Torah and the throne, and it teaches us how the record and the witness come together so that our faith can be made eternal, that it is not subject to time and decay. The flesh may be subject to time and decay, but our faith isn't, because God has provided the perfect pattern and plan for our return to Him in Jesus Christ. God set Himself as the original record for all to follow, to know Him and to know themselves. When life is viewed through Satan's forgery, then many philosophies ring true, because it is true to the testimony of man. The true hope of faith is where the Spirit carries the testimony of God within the soul. False hope is a philosophical hope. It does not carry the testimony of God, it carries the testimony of man. By our labor with the tools of Christ, the Spirit of God gives substance to our hope of knowing Him and having God form Christ within, thus giving evidence of Christ in our faith. We're able to receive this evidence issued from above, which confirms Christ and makes our hope bright. Because we are receiving substance now for our faith, so also is our eternal hope of glory made bright by His grace being issued daily for our growth. Because Jesus Christ is our hope, We pour our faith into the mold of His truth and labor confidently in cooperation with His Spirit. Thank you for joining me today. Again, this is Teacher Yvette, and you're welcome to reach out to me if you have any questions about transitioning into covenant by contacting me on our website, s8w.org. Feel welcome to explore more pages on this website for more audio recordings and blogs. Goodbye for now.